Welcome back to the Popcorn Hour. I'm Matt, and this is James, and today we're discussing Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein. We have thoughts.
Yeah, a few.
But before that, what have you watched? Nothing?
A whole lot of nothing.
Okay. I finished there.
I did get 5 more movies.
What ones?
Let's see if I can remember. I got 7.
It's a good movie.
The Usual Suspects.
Okay.
I got Sin City.
Okay.
Then I got The Ringer. And then I got...
That's a good movie.
Ready for an even better one? Short Circuit.
Okay, yeah.
Pretty bad movie, mm-hmm. But it's enjoyable. Dad had told me at one point when he was like, oh, you should watch this. And I was like 8 or something. And then I was like, why? He was like, it's got Wally's dad. I don't know. Because Johnny Five looks like Wally.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Okay.
Johnny Five is still alive. But yeah, he was like, you should watch it. And I did, and I liked it. And he was like, oh, God. And I watched it on repeat for a little bit.
That's funny. All right, well.
That one's on par with, like, Howard the Duck.
Okay,
like, yeah. it's not good, but, like, some people like it.
You can enjoy it if you turn. Just turn it off for background noise.
Yeah, if you turn off the volume, that's pretty good.
Yeah. All right.
Which is what I think about this movie.
Yeah. Okay. I finished the Harry Potter series. Watched Frankenstein. I watched the Fantastic Beasts series.
Yeah.
Not a fan of those. Those were not good. I didn't know why I liked the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember we went
and watched the first one. It was like around Thanksgiving time frame.
Yeah. And Mikey, we walked out of the theater. You went in the bathroom. And then Mikey, we're just standing there and he goes, yeah, that movie sucked. And then I thought he was going to say it was good. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, you didn't like the movie? And I was like, no, I was. And he's like, copying me. And I see you. And I was like, no, I thought you, your inflection made me think that it was going to be good. And he was like, no.
Yeah.
You're just copying me. But yeah, we liked the movie. I remember that. I didn't forget it.
I didn't like either of them. They were really boring to me. Maybe it's just because I just watched all the Harry Potter ones and those just gradually got better for the most part. But yeah, not a fan of those. And then watched Fantastic Four First Steps.
Yeah, so what did you watch that on?
It's on Disney Plus.
When did that happen?
The last 2 weeks or so, something like that.
I feel like they waited way too long to put that on streaming. Because how long ago did it come out?
July. And I think within the last 2 to 3 weeks it went on Disney Plus. I don't remember the exact date. I just know that it was on there. So,
yeah. Well, how long? It's been out of theaters for 3 months at this point. Like
that. Yeah.
And it had only been available to rent and buy, even though Thunderbolts came out like a month after on streaming.
Is that right? No. I feel like when it comes to Disney Plus, it takes a little bit longer for them.
Deadpool Wolverine.
That took forever.
Yeah. I feel like that took like 6 months.
Maybe not that long. But it did take a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the movie came out. I don't remember when it came out. It came out on. February? It came out in February?
Deadpool Wolverine?
Yeah.
I think so. Did it?
Because I'm pretty sure it came out on August on Disney Plus or November.
Why do I think it came out this year? No. Deadpool Thunderbolts Wolverine? Came out in May. February.
It was at the end of. It was closer to the summer, I thought. Maybe March?
Oh, yeah. It was or July April. 26th.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but Fantastic Four holds up.
Okay. I've enjoyable. Heard people recently have been just kind of saying that it fell flat, which I think it fell a little flat. Like, it just didn't linger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't have a lasting impact.
No, it's a Marvel movie. But it's different than what we've had Marvel-wise in the past. So, I think that's what makes it enjoyable and really stands out on its own. But this time around, Reed Richards did annoy me a lot. But overall, like, everything was good. I like Johnny's character a lot more. The second time.
I feel like he didn't.
I liked him a lot.
He was probably my favorite character.
Yes. Yeah.
When we watched it. Because I've been wanting to watch it again to see how different it was from our viewing experience. Because we probably had the best, like, See, yeah. That's probably my favorite theatrical experiences when we went and watched that.
Yeah, I'd say I noticed more mainly because when we watched it the first time, I felt like I wasn't paying too terribly much attention to the movie. Mm. It was just like the experience in general was like taking over. So when this time around, I was like, I don't remember that at all. Hmm. And I didn't remember Paul Walter Hauser having such a like bigger role. Maybe I just forgot it or wasn't paying attention, but yeah. Hmm. Still a good movie though.
I remember, did it feel quick? Because I remember when we watched it, it felt like it was a little abrupt. Like the movie just felt so fast.
I think it was fine. Okay. I didn't think it like felt rushed or anything. I think it was a steady pace throughout the whole thing. So
I need to give it a rewatch.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
First, all right, so Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein released this year. Had a limited theatrical release starting on October 17th. Not really sure how long that lasted. And then a global Netflix release November 7th. So about a week removed from it. Mm-hmm. Coming out. Directed by Guillermo del Toro. I think he wrote it and produced it as well. Mm-hmm. It's a gothic drama, science fiction, horror. Runtime about 150 minutes. So pretty long. I think on Netflix it said 2 hours and 32 minutes to be exact. Based on Frankenstein or The Modern Prometheus by Mark Shelley, released in 1818. Frankenstein's an old book.
Yeah. That's such a good name though, The Modern Prometheus.
Yeah. So, plot summary. Guillermo del Toro's long-awaited passion project reimagines Mark Shelley's novel as a sweeping gothic tragedy about creation, love, and consequence. Victor Frankenstein, a brilliant yet tormented scientist, seeks to conquer death through forbidden science, only to give life to a being he cannot love or control. The creature, cast out and yearning for connection, turns the mirror on his maker, told in three chapters, Prelude, Victor's Tale, and The Creature's Tale. The film reframes the story not as horror, but as a meditation on humanity's need to create, destroy, and be seen. First thoughts.
This was my most anticipated for probably the last quarter of the year. Mm-hmm. And I went in with like high expectations, but also low expectations, just so I didn't have like really, really high standards for this. And then the initial opening kind of started, it threw me off a little bit. And then I did not like it. I did not like the movie. I gave it a 2.5 because I feel like if you fully just turn your brain off and then just watch it and don't really think about it, it's not bad. Like, it's entertaining to watch. But if like the second you start like putting kind of thought into it, then I just dropped it. Mm-hmm. Okay. But right when it ended, I was like, that wasn't bad. But as like a viewing it as like just an audience, I was like, it was bad. But the second I started to like think about it and like critique it, then I was like, okay, I hated this. This was bad.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a fan. Was very excited for this movie. And I think my expectations were a little different of how the story was going to go.
Me too.
And
but at the same time, not.
It was not anywhere near what I thought it was going to be. And to me, I felt it was incredibly boring. The story itself drug on way too long. There were parts of it that I thought made zero sense. And it just wasn't, I didn't care for it. Visually, I think it looks really good.
I do think like
and the character choices, the casting was good. Mm-hmm. And it worked. And the acting was great.
I think the worst part of this movie was Victor. Not Oscar Isaac.
just the
Oscar character. Isaac did good playing Victor, but how Victor was written, I did not like Victor.
Yeah, I didn't like the story whatsoever.
I didn't either. I thought that was so stupid. I thought that I liked the goose chase aspect. I thought that was it made sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, that they'd been like hunting each other, but like the reasons just didn't make sense.
No, not at all. Yeah, it was.
Everything was just convoluted. Like, it was my biggest issue with the movie is it can't find a theme. Mm-hmm. Like, it's trying to go for the theme of, like, don't judge a book by its cover or whatever. But and then they're like, the monster is learning about, or the creature is learning about peace and learning about, like, treating others fairly and then trying to be better. But and then he just, like, goes on killing sprees. Like, then why did he kill all of those people on the boat?
That was a spoiler. We're not there yet.
I didn't say that. But it was just really convoluted.
Yeah, I give it a 2. And you said last week, after you had watched it, you thought I would like it better. But based off of your initial ranking and mine, I liked it less than you did. I gave it a 2 because visually it looks really good. The acting is really good. It's just the story itself and the way it was told was not what I expected, and I didn't care for it at all. So, ready?
Yep.
All right. From now on, spoilers, even though he already gave you one.
Yeah. So I think Victor just was like, there's no explanation for why he really hates the creature. But there is, but it's not expressed well. Like, it's like, oh, he hates his creation. Okay, why? He just hates him. Okay, why? Okay, yep.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's because he wasn't learning. But it to me,
I can see the frustration, but and then also just like fully like wanting to kill it. And you're like, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah, Victor did a complete 180.
Yeah.
And there was no real explanation other than the fact that like, the monster is not learning. All you can say is Victor. But the way Victor is going about teaching him is kind of like in an abusive manner. Mm-hmm. And it's not really working the way that the monster needs to learn. So then he's just like, you know what? Nope, I hate you. You're ugly. I need to get rid of you altogether. Why do you need to go that far?
Yeah, his first thought was, yeah, I hate this guy. I'm going to blow up everything.
Yeah, it's, no.
And then he's like, he says like, say one other word. And then he's like, Victor. And then he starts walking, and then he says Elizabeth.
Yep.
And then he just goes, yeah, no. Yep. But it's, I mean, you could see, like, I could see an argument for, like, the creature and is supposed to be a reflection of Victor. Victor is impatient or whatever, but it just wasn't expressed well.
No.
To the point where it's just like, he's feeling this way because the plot says he's supposed to feel this way. Not any other reason. No, not like an actual reason. It's just like, oh, the story needs to go here. That's why he feels that, because it has to end up with this. But then all of a sudden he's like, oh crap, I messed up. I need to save him. And then he regrets it. And then all of a sudden when Victor, or when the monster shows back up, he's like, flipped again.
I hate when movies do those types of scenes where the person is running into the fire to try to save somebody, and then the fire and it blows up and they're like literally engulfed in the flame. Mm-hmm. And then they come out unscathed. No burn marks, nothing. Clothes are fine. The only thing that happened to Victor was his leg was all jacked up. And I thought he was going to like break his back against the rock or whatever it was that was right there. But no, all he got was
his leg shattered
and his leg just demolished.
I thought the dumbest one is when when the creature held the stick of dynamite and then his clothes didn't burn off. He didn't like really heal anything. Mm-hmm. That would he would have died. Like, he got shot a few times, and then he died. Mm-hmm. But he didn't die from this.
Yeah. I thought the movie started off strong with kind of getting us into the action.
Yeah.
The ship, which was practical.
I thought that was a little weird. Threw me off at first. It felt really MCU-ish to me.
I thought we were going to get a Captain America type of find. It was the creature was going to be found in ice and things
like that. At first, I thought that he was defending Victor.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you're trying to save him.
Yeah, and while he's destroying or, you know, going after the crew and trying to get to Victor, I thought it looked very animated. It looked like a weird animated movie, almost. Like a animated movie that's trying to be realistic.
Also, at the very beginning, he has all this, like, damage. Like, his fingers are, like, degloved. Mm-hmm. And then, like, he's got all these marks for no reason. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't see why that happened. But then we see that he has this, like, weird healing factor.
Yes.
But and then once we get to the end of the movie and we're, like, caught up with the story, then all those are just gone.
Yes. Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting how long certain healing factors, or how long it took the healing factor on certain parts. Like, if you get shot in the chest, then, like, it takes a little bit longer. But when we see, like, his handy glove, you could see it regrowing. But we didn't see that before. It was kind of like, oh, after a while, it healed my chest, and it was fine. Or, like, when he got shot in the eye. It felt like it was just kind of
all over the place. When he's getting his hair cut, and he just grabs the razor.
Yes.
And then his hand's bleeding for like a good few minutes. And then Victor all of a sudden's like, wait, the wound is closed. Mm-hmm. Like, that took a while.
Yeah.
And then.
I also.
What do you think of the design choice? I hated it.
Yeah. Of the monster?
Yeah.
I hated it.
I didn't like it either. I don't think that makes sense to me.
It doesn't, for a number of different reasons. One, all I could think about was the movie Prometheus, which is kind of ironic.
Yeah. I was thinking that too.
Yeah, those alien creatures. Like that's what gray. It looked like, an alien.
It looked like that combined with the Somebody You Used to Know music video guy. Yeah. Where he's got all the paint.
Yes.
That one also was from Dad. Dad said that.
The blood coming out of the creature when he gets hurt or shot or whatever, I felt like it didn't make sense of how much blood he had for the how pale or blue he looked. Like, he looked dead. And which sometimes, he's dead, come back to life. But like, if he's gonna have that much blood, he should have some color.
I feel like also this part of his face, like around his eyes, looked really blue at some points. Mm-hmm. And at some points, he was like fully gray. And then other points, he was like gray, like a sea greenish color. And then it was just weird.
Yeah, I wonder if it was going to be different because I guess Andrew Garfield was supposed to be the monster.
That'd he was cast,
and they worked months to get the prosthetics for him, and then Andrew Garfield had to drop out of the film, and that's why they cast Jacob Elordi, and they only had a few weeks to get the prosthetics and stuff fitted for him.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And I also think that the monster looked too perfect and with very few imperfections.
Yeah.
Like, they just kind of put, like, scars and stuff over his Jacob Elordi's body instead of making him look like he came from multiple different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because his face just looks like his face with marks on it. Mm-hmm. But, like, the original James Whale Frankenstein, it almost seems like, because that design of Frankenstein is more like, this is some guy's head, this is some guy's torso, this is some guy's arm, whatever. And each body part looks like it's from a different thing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the issue with trying to, like, Thomas Elliot it, like that identity thief it, is it just looks like one face.
Yes.
And it just looks weird. And then I get the idea that they're going for, like, making it seem like different muscles were attached, but it also just doesn't really execute how I think that they were trying to do it. Yeah. Everything's a little too seamless. Although I did like the original, like, half human body that they like electrocute and they bring mm-hmm. back to life. Thought that was a great start to whatever.
Yeah. I did enjoy the montage scene of him building
mm-hmm.
The creature, and I think it all looked really good, especially when he's like pulling the tendons of the hand and trying to reconnect.
I like
them.
I think the best part of the movie was the science. Like yes. Trying to actually, because the original one is just kind of like, we take a dead guy, sew up some stuff,
mm-hmm.
attach some bolts to his neck, let him get struck by lightning. And this one was a lot more kind of
sciencey
and delving into like the spinal cord and mm-hmm. each muscular function.
Yeah.
Even though it does not make sense at all why he has like a healing factor.
Yeah.
I feel like that just doesn't.
It didn't make sense at all.
Like why he was like super abled.
Yeah. The.
I could see strength because your brain. There's a thing about like powerlifters is a lot of them have this thing where their brain doesn't really tell them to stop. Because once you try to exert a certain amount of force, your brain tells you to like don't push any further. Like if you had complete control over your muscles, if you fully contracted your quad mm-hmm. to its full capacity, it would snap your femur. So I think it makes sense that Frankenstein like is stronger. Because he doesn't have that in his brain to tell him to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So he can just keep pushing.
Mm.
So the strength, I kind of get. But not like him pushing a boat strength. Like the original one, I can kind of get where he's like picking up the guy
and
stuff. But not like pushing a boat.
Yeah. That, both those scenes where he's pushing the side of the boat to rock it. And then when he's pushing the boat at the end. Bothered me so much because it looked like he was not exerting anything to do it. Plus, they were on ice.
So in he the middle of the ocean. Pushed through.
Yes. So if he's pushing, they could have at least had it to where his feet kind of cracked the ice a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that would have made it seem a little bit more real. But just for him to just kind of push the boat. This huge ship.
It just a little bit, I think, would have made it better.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, that's why I really like the scene from Superman Returns when he catches the plane.
Uh-huh.
Is because, logistically, if you do that, you're going through the plane.
Yeah.
But I liked how it showed that the plane, like, rippled because of the force of stopping that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to go through it. Obviously, it's still way far-fetched. He would have just gone straight through, and the plane would have just crashed.
Yeah.
But the fact that they put a little bit of effort into being like, obviously, this is not what's going to happen. But just that the difference between ordinary and, like, extraordinary, just a little extra.
There's a lot that just...
One thing I really hated was Victor spieling out a story, which I feel like that is lazy-ish. Like how they did that felt a little lazy. And then the monster just walking and goes, oh, my creator told you his story.
Let me tell you mine.
Yeah. That was stupid.
It was. And it bothered me so much because you have,
at you're the on this hunt.
He's hunting him and he is destroying this captain's crew and finally makes it onto the boat halfway through the movie.
And the captain's just going to sit there.
Hour and a half long story from Victor.
That was so boring.
Yes.
I liked Christoph Waltz.
Yes.
I liked him at the end when he's like, put my soul into it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't do that. And then they duke it out. And then.
Yeah.
Especially when he died. Like when he picks up his head and you see a kid and I was like, that looks really good.
Yes. But how are you going to have this monster who's on a rampage? And then he finally gets to where he needs to go. And then he calms down.
Yeah.
Just to tell his side of the story.
Yeah.
I feel like you could have easily had it to where there's one narrator for mm-hmm. the entire thing, whether that be Victor or the creature, and not split it up the way they did, just for the creature to go on this rampage, get to where he's going, calm down, and have a logical explanation as to what's happening and where he came from. And then, it irritated me to mm-hmm. no end. But Christoph Waltz's character, that scene where he ends up dying, falling to his death, things like that. I had to rewind, and then the lightning, I had to rewind it 5 times because I just lost interest. I don't know why, but it would, as it's happening, I end up just slowly looking at something else or doing something else to where after that whole scene happens, I'm like, what just happened? And then I have to rewind it. And then it's the same thing happens. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, it was really bad. And I like, and then when I finally just like, all right, and I'm glued to the TV, I was very underwhelmed by everything. Because there was no, I would be fine. I would have
actually, logistically, whoever built that, what even was it? Just a manor?
Yeah, I guess.
What? Why the cylindrical tube? What's up with that?
For lightning.
Yeah, but that was dumb. Like, yeah. Why would anyone build that? And also, how was there no water?
In there? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there was no...
there was a little bit, but it
wasn't... But there wasn't, like it was storming. But yeah. There wasn't, like, no rainwater in there.
Well, I think there was a... It was encased on top. Or no, it wasn't because
like, it had,
they were up there.
It had the thing that just did this.
Yeah, because when they were up there, they were soaked.
Mm-hmm.
Haralder and Victor, they were soaked.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree that the look of Christoph Waltz when after he falls and he lifts him up and is just caved in looked really good. But yeah, that scene just, it took forever for me to get through.
And then... Yeah, I actually, probably the thing I hated the most was after the creature told his story, then they're all of a sudden just like, he's like, I'm sorry. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I forgive you. And then he dies. And then, yeah.
And then they all just let him walk off the boat.
Yes, that irritated me too because...
But also, how does he get through them? Because he's like rampaging through and then all of a sudden... Like, before you, it only seemed like there's, like, a 15-people crew. And then he's like, yeah, they're all dead. And then they open the door, and it's, the boat looks like sardines. Like, they're all jam-packed. Yeah, and then they're all just like, he's like, oh, no, let them walk.
Yeah. How are you going to let this monster walk? I can understand if it was out of fear.
Yeah.
Not necessarily out of sympathy or respect.
But it almost was like, the captain was like, oh, no, we misunderstood this guy.
Yeah. After you let him kill...
Six of your people.
Yeah, at least six.
Yeah.
I think he said six.
No, he said that he killed six more. Yeah. He said after he got on the boat.
So, yeah. It didn't make sense. And like I said, I can understand if it was out of fear that you let him go. But because you heard both sides of the story, you're just going to let him go even though he just killed a bunch of your men.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It bothered me. It bothered me.
And then when, after the creature leaves, after he survives, and he starts learning, like, how to speak and how to, like, live, he meets this old fella.
Mm-hmm.
And then this old fella kind of, like, teaches him right from wrong, stuff like that. And then he's like, he's learning all these, you're learning the themes of this movie with him. And then he fully just starts doing what the guy told him to not do.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. I also didn't understand how he learned how to read from a guy that's blind.
Also, yeah. Yeah. That's weird. I also didn't like Elizabeth's character.
Oh, yeah.
She saw him and was just like...
Yeah, Mia Goth's character, Elizabeth,
was she just liked him for, like, no reason. She didn't, like, see anything in him initially. She was just, like... She just liked him because the plot demanded it.
Yeah. Well, she was supposed to marry William, Victor's brother, and then she starts falling for Victor, and then the monster happens, and then she starts falling for the monster.
But he... Elizabeth just all of a sudden likes him, like, just because. And then when he's like, I need you to make me another one, I was like, I really hope that they're not trying to somehow maybe get a sequel out of this. And then I hope that they're not going to try to fit the Bride of Frankenstein's story into this.
Yeah, that's I thought that that's where we were going. We were gonna go into get a glimpse of the bride of Frankenstein, and then not and not fully see it through, but just to like tease it to, and then that be done with it. I wasn't really sure if they what they were trying to do with that. I'm glad they kind of nixed that. Maybe we will get a sequel. Who knows? I mean, I think Victor died, so
yeah.
I don't think that's.
I don't want a sequel with this.
No. No. All right. We bashed this movie enough. Almost.
I have one more thing I want to bash it for.
Cinematography?
Cinematography. I did not like it at all. I hate this trend that we're kind of seeing this year. I didn't hate it in Superman because I didn't really utilize it the entire time. But I hate these like super close up one-oners with like a 16 millimeter lens. So they're basically shooting like a fisheye as close as possible, but doing these one take scenes, and I just hate it. I hate them.
Why?
I don't know why. It just visually, I just don't like it. It just feels kind of lazy because it's like you're shooting wide so you see everything, and you're just doing a one-er, so you're just kind of following along. It just feels kind of lazy. It feels like a lazy way to seem artistic. I just don't like it. I don't like the overuse of it in this movie. Okay. I just felt lazy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now we've bashed this movie enough.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some things that we liked about it. I would say, for me, I love period pieces. I love movies that are set in the 1700s, 1800s. I don't just visually, I think it's entertaining for me. The old, you know, horse and carriage and the clothing and things like that, I really, really enjoy. I also find it interesting that there's always no sunlight. Yeah. In these types of movies where, like, especially like the 1800s, there's no sunlight ever. It's always gloomy. Yep. It's always just dark and rainy and things like that. Immediately comes to mind, like, the Robert Downey Jr.'s
Sherlock Holmes
movies.
Yeah. Same Guy Ritchie.
Yes. There's no sunlight, which I'm fine with. Like, there doesn't necessarily need to be sunlight. There is a little sunlight in this movie, but
Guy Ritchie doesn't like sun, I guess. Not thinking about it. Everything is always silver skies. King Arthur.
Yeah.
Silver skies. The Gentleman.
Mostly, yeah.
Mostly silver skies. Sherlock Holmes. Snatch. The Covenant is pretty, like, brown.
Yeah.
Like, because they're in the desert.
Wow,
I never realized that. Guy Ritchie does not like the sun.
But I do enjoy these movies a lot. I don't know why. I think visually it looks really good.
And you haven't seen Nosferatu?
The new one?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Okay, well, you're like describing like the best, like why that movie was like so amazing.
I have been wanting to watch it. Maybe I'll watch it this week.
One of my favorite looking period pieces. Robert Edgers just does really good with that.
Okay.
Like, he does such an interesting thing with the shadows. He embraces the pure blackness of shadows, which is like what you're not supposed to do in movies, but it just works. And he also, do you remember in the Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions game when it's all black and white, but once there's like a little bit of light, it's a little bit in color? That's what they do.
Okay.
So it's all like, it feels black and white at night. And it is. And then once there's like a candlelight, only the stuff that is illuminated is like slightly in color.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really cool. The cinematography in that movie is just awesome.
Okay. Yeah. Visually, this movie looked really good to me.
I like the
practical effect of the, or the practicality of the ship and how they built a whole ship out of it. I think that's always cool to do instead of kind of cheating and using a set or VFX and things like that. I feel like that just shows how much more you care. Like, mm-hmm. That's why I like Christopher Nolan's work, because a lot of his stuff is practical. But yeah, the using like a building a real ship and using it is cool. Although some of the other sets were kind of wonky.
You should see the sets for Dune Messiah. They are insane. Denis Villeneuve is a pretty practical mm-hmm. guy. And the sets are like stadium size.
Hmm.
They are huge. So
that's cool. Okay. All right. Well, what other stuff did you like?
I liked like directions that this movie almost went in. I liked Victor hating his creation. I feel like that's good.
Mm-hmm.
How they did it, I didn't like, which ruined that kind of mm-hmm. plot point for me. Just how they did it, but I like Victor coming to hate his creation, and I do like the flip that Victor is actually the monster,
mm-hmm.
and that the creature isn't. Probably one of my biggest issues with the story of Frankenstein is that they're all called Frankenstein, which is iconic, but now there's this like misconception that Frankenstein is the creature.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's like, no, it's like, no, that's the creature. But you can't just say the creature. Yeah, no, but you say Frankenstein, name. What do you think of? You think of bolted neck, like stitched neck. You think of like the James Whale design.
Yeah. I do think I did like how it's always, or in this one, it was always like creature. It mm-hmm. wasn't Frankenstein's monster. I don't think it was ever said.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer like the creature. But I think it would be nice to give the creature an actual name.
Yeah.
Of some kind.
I like calling him Frankenstein,
mm-hmm.
even though that's really wrong, and I have seen Guillermo del Toro that severely like pisses him off,
mm-hmm.
is people calling the creature Frankenstein.
Yeah.
But I mean, technically, if it's, since he called him son, I'm assuming his name is, the only name he has is Frankenstein, because he called him son, mm-hmm. meaning his last name is Frankenstein, but he doesn't have a first name, so he's
Frankenstein. Yeah. I think the acting in this was done really well. I think this is a breakout role for Jacob Elordi.
Yeah, I do think that this kind of separates him from those teen...
Mm-hmm. Those teen romance movies.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
And showing that he's like... He's doing a Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Or also what Leonardo DiCaprio did. You know? So... Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I'm excited to see what else he does.
He did really good, especially with the physicality and, mm-hmm. Like, his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, only acting with his eyes for all of Victor's story, basically.
Yeah.
Because all he said was Victor, and then he's, like, having to sit there, and then...
Yeah, I for the most part, the movements of the creature, I enjoyed. There were a couple parts where I thought looked weird. But the way he's like almost learning how to use his hands and his walking and things like that, or standing, like there's parts where he's kind of like hunched,
mm-hmm.
bent over a little bit. So I think the way Jacob Elordi executed that was done really, really well.
One kind of like message that I thought would have really worked well for this is something that Denis Villeneuve kind of goes by. So obviously everyone knows Tarantino's the foot guy. But Denis's the hand guy. He always shows people's hands, because, and there's a video of him talking about it. He says that hands are like raw truth. Like if you build something with your hands, that is something you did with your hands. They're very true. Every action that you have, like you do, like everything with your hands. So they're very just true about who a person is. Like even if you like look at them and you see calluses or scars or whatever, like that, it tells a story. And how the creature was like, when he's like learning how to like, like when he's first breaking out of the thing, like you can see his like raw strength like through his hands, or like when he's learning how to read, you learn it like through his hands, and you can see like the raw truth of who he is.
Mm. Or when he's patting himself on the head.
Yeah.
Or making the blind guy do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Or like when he first like meets the blind guy like puts out his hand to him,
mm-hmm.
and he's like scared because he dropped a glass,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it was.
Yeah. What do you think about the score and the sound design?
I like the sound design. I like the sound design of his like how he sounded like a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean that just kind of goes with the.
Yeah, the roaring.
Yeah.
Was really good.
Like his. Animalistic side,
mm-hmm.
it reminded me a lot like of his design as the Wolverine movie,
mm-hmm.
when we see him hide out in that cave. It's all I thought of every time he had the big like trench coat on. I was like, okay. He just looks like Hugh Jackman in the Wolverine with the long beard and stuff.
Mm, okay, yeah. Again, with like period piece movies, they always have this like classical. Stringy music,
mm-hmm.
that I really enjoy, and I think it fits perfectly.
Yeah, I like the score.
Mm-hmm. And it was like this.
It was
almost like a ghostly.
Yeah, it was like a noir. Sound.
Yeah,
type of like almost myth,
mm-hmm.
to it.
Yes,
because I love the caricature of Frankenstein. I thought that the score of the creature, and I thought that the score reflected that,
mm-hmm.
really well.
Yes.
But I liked, like, what they were trying to do was there.
Yeah.
But how they did it
was the execution fell a little flat for me. But, yeah, it's like, I get what they were trying to do, mm-hmm. and I appreciate it. Just the complete execution of the entire movie just was a little boring. Let's see. You said you like Christoph Waltz's character, mm-hmm. as a supporting cast member. I was surprised. I didn't know he was in the film, so I was surprised to see him there.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like the way he was trying to pursue kind of like godhood through Victor and his endeavors of, mm-hmm. trying to deal with grief and kind of fix the past in his own way. It was really good. Yeah. Let's see. So let's talk about some behind the scenes stories. So Del Toro, he has dreamed of adapting Frankenstein,
mm-hmm.
for over 30 years. It's crazy. I want to know it took so long to get this.
I think he tried to do a version of this in Kronos.
That, yes, I've thought of Jacob Elordi's look. Reminded me a lot of The Alchemist in Kronos.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. But he called the story of Frankenstein the story that made him who he is. So that was interesting. The film's structure mirrors the novel's nested storytelling, shifting perspectives between Victor and his creation. Practical effects dominate prosthetics, real sets, and hand-built miniatures maintain tactile realism. So like I said, the visually, I think most of it looked really, really good. I was interested to find this out, but even though it's a Netflix production, much of the film was shot for IMAX and 70mm projection to preserve its grandeur. Do you know like what the difference between shooting a Netflix production and just like a theater, actual like blockbuster type of production?
Not like specifically, but they're, Netflix is a little more controlling, mm-hmm. of like, because I know they don't like to do theatrical stuff. That's their whole shtick. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of like, but now they're kind of opening.
Yeah, they are kind of. I could definitely see what some of the.
But stuff they're more controlling of their distribution and less on the production.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, like David Fincher, and then they all have these like deals with Netflix, because Netflix is a big producer, and so they can sign on with them, so they can do these passion projects. Like The Killer, mm-hmm. was a passion project for David Fincher, And so they can do these passion projects and Netflix is not going to hold them to it. That's why there's so many of these like Netflix movies, mm-hmm. is because people can kind of get their foot in the door. And then Netflix won't be like, they're not like too on the beat on like what they have to do. They're just more controlled about their distribution.
Okay. All right. So the creature's scars are patterned like constellations. It's a tribute to the idea of humans as cosmic patchworks. So that makes it a little bit easier to kind of digest the look of Jacob Elordi. I think mostly given the fact that like he wasn't the original choice, it was Andrew Garfield, and then only having weeks to put together something for him, I think I'm pretty sure the design had to evolve for
because Jacob Elordi is tall.
He's 6'5". I saw that the other day.
Yeah, he is tall. He's
6'5". Yeah, he looked really tall. And that was another thing. If you see at the end when the creature is sitting at bedside to Victor, they made him look so much larger. Not just taller, but like larger and wide. Like
wide.
Yeah. Than what Victor was, which I thought was a nice touch to help with, you know, the look of the creature, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then when he walks out, it kind of dissipates when he's walking through the crew. So, Del Toro kept Mary Shelley's first edition by his desk during shooting. Kind of like an inspiration to do right by this book. To me, it didn't do that.
I want to watch the Robert De Niro Frankenstein and then read the book. Because apparently that one is not good, but it is the closest aligned to the book.
I did see, I wish I would have saved it, but I did see it was a list of every Frankenstein movie.
In the original James Whale one, they switched Henry and Victor's name.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird.
Yes. But the list was the ranked by the most accurate to the book.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, the first one is I, Frankenstein. Based off of that list. And I know you don't like that movie.
What?
Yeah. This one is 5, ranked 5th.
Are we talking about the same I, Frankenstein?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you sure?
With
Aaron Eckhart?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah. You know, when I look at that poster for I, Frankenstein, I think it's, what's his face? Magneto from...
Michael Fassbender?
Yes.
For a while, I thought he was Michael Fassbender. There's another movie. It's called... This is such a niche pull. If anyone knows this, I would be surprised. It's called Mr. Brooks. It's not a good movie. Mm-hmm. It's not like a cool niche pull. It's kind of like a... How'd you find that on Tubi?
Mm-hmm.
Found it at a Redbox, actually. But it's...
Almost the same thing.
It had a girl that played Caitlin from the CW Flash. Mm-hmm. She plays... what's his name? He's in Yellowstone.
Danielle Panabaker.
Nope.
No, but that's the actress.
Oh, he's in Yellowstone. The main guy.
Kevin Costner?
Yeah, Kevin Costner. He's like a serial killer. And then he takes on this like apprentice. And then for some reason, I always thought it was Michael Keaton. Mm. I always had remembered it was Michael Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that is Michael Keaton. And then when I was like, I randomly thought about this. I was like, I have to find out what movie this was. Wasn't Michael Keaton.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. Del Toro's spin on this movie, when compared to others, while the 1931 and Hammer versions emphasized horror, Del Toro turns the tale into a requiem, a story about parenthood, guilt, and the loneliness of genius. His Frankenstein is less about a monster terrorizing a village and more about a son asking his father, "Why did you make me?" Very powerful.
I like it's good intentions, good messaging. I just don't think the execution was there.
Yeah, I agree.
That is one thing. That is one aspect that I do like much more than the James Whale version. Because the James Whale version, it's almost like he accidentally is doing all these horrendous things. And he doesn't know why he is who he is. He just is, like, lost. Mm-hmm. And then keeps just messing up. And then everyone just hates him more and is scared of him a lot more. But
yeah, I do.
I just didn't think that was weird. But
I did like how they kind of, how they kept the creature out of, like, towns and stuff like that to prevent him from, you know, causing destruction in a way that
I did think that that felt a little off. It felt to me almost like, this is so random why, but in God of War, when you're in Midgard, there's no people anywhere. And it just felt weird. You know, like that just doesn't, it just feels weird that you're just so alienated. So I thought that was weird that we never see him, like, go into a town. Like, he's going to pass a few towns, especially if he's hunting down Victor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the one time that we see him, like, around people is at that party.
Yeah. But even then, he's not, he's still secluded. So.
He sees everyone for, like, 5 seconds. And then that's it.
Yeah. All right. Do you have anything else?
No, I thought the, like, editing of everything, like, the, I mean, it was just the pacing. All the sequences were fine. I mean, just the pacing I thought was a little inconsistent. But, yeah, I liked the Foley. Foley was good.
Yeah. I want to say, we are, let me find it, let me pull it up. We are in the minority.
Yeah, we are.
On Letterboxd. So, let's go through. So, 1,000 people gave it 0.5 star. 2.7, or almost 3,000 people gave it 1 star.
3,000.
3,000, 1.5.
15 gave it 2.
Yeah.
So that's where we are.
Yeah, that's where we're at. 24.
2.5. 72 is a 3.
And then this is where it kind of jumps.
114 gave it 3.5.
200. That's 1,000, by the way.
Yeah. 224,000. 4 stars. 121,000 at 4.5. 157 at 5.
Yeah. So we are in the minority group of what we thought about this film. I did read some of the reviews on Letterboxd.
Some of them are weird. How to make Jacob Elordi in my basement tutorial.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird. I did see that one. Yeah.
I actually, one thing I did like is the hyperfixation on Victor embracing, like, wanting death so badly. And then I thought that would have made sense for the creature, like, wanting death so badly and Victor wanting to stay alive or something. I don't know. They were doing this weird thing where Victor was, like, obsessed about death, but then the creature was also wanting to just die. So it was like they're going along the same path. I thought it would be better if it was flipped to not how extreme as it was, but flipped, and then they, like, flip back to accept that they need to, like, embrace life.
Yeah. Given the fact that the creature has a healing factor, I think it would have been a little bit more impactful and more enjoyable if they gave him a more so idea that, yes, he wants to live, but he just destroys everything. Not necessarily just, like, hurting people and, like, just do, but in the sense that nobody will love him, because it almost wanted to be a love story. And it just didn't. It kind of went to the edge, but it didn't really jump. And so maybe if they would have just had it to where towards the end, the creature wants so badly to die instead of just having him want to live so badly and be human so badly. So I think that probably would have made it a little bit better for me.
I also don't really think it makes sense why he's immortal.
Yeah, there was no explanation as to why the lightning just made him...
immortal.
Yeah. Or maybe it was Victor, the way Victor put something together in a way
that... Wait, what's the other one? What's the one where, like, you're... Because there's immortal, and then there's, like, where you can't... Where you'll live forever until, like, I don't know, if you get stabbed or something.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But he was definitely not that, because he had a healing factor.
Yeah.
It was weird, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand why some people like this movie.
Yeah. I do think fully just turning your brain off and then just watching.
Yeah.
Then it's entertaining. You're like, okay, that was something. I think if you did that, 3 stars.
Yeah. I think just for me, the story itself wasn't anything exciting. It was... For me, it was a little too boring for me to enjoy it. Like I said, there were multiple times where I had to, like, rewind it because I stopped paying attention. But, like I said, I can understand why some people like this movie. And if you haven't watched it yet and you're still here for some reason, go watch it and let us know what you think, because I want to know what other people think about this movie that actually like it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we missed. Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe what we didn't understand.
I like Cronos more.
Yeah, I did too.
For Del Toro.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think I do like the original.
I do too.
A lot more.
You don't like Frankenstein? You don't like I, Frankenstein? What's the other one?
Young Frankenstein?
No, the one with Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, I know you're talking about the...
Victor Frankenstein? Yeah, Is it Victor Frankenstein? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I think I enjoy that one a little bit more.
Hmm. It's not I do think Maggie Gyllenhaal's The Bride will be better.
Oh, we'll see. After this one, I'm going to keep my
expectations. Yeah, I probably... Control. Yeah, because the two movies that I had the highest expectations for this year were, like...
What's the other one?
Mickey 17.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Same thing though. Like with that, I was like, I like Bong Joon-ho. He's got some great movies. Uh-huh. Like I love Memories of Murder. And Snowpiercer. Those two are probably my favorite two. I need to like actually finish Parasite.
Uh-huh.
But
are there any other movies this year that you want to watch?
For the rest of the year, there's nothing that's like... I'm not like super, super excited for, but the start of next year, probably Bone Temple is my next.
Okay. And next year's going to be really good.
Yeah.
I think.
But I mean, Mickey 17, I thought the first act was perfect
mm-hmm.
for what they were doing. Second act started to fall off, and the third act just completely disconnected to me. Mm. But.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's our review on Frankenstein.
You can see our... all of our social media stuff on the top of the description, and you can join us for Friday's episode of Movie News and next Tuesday's episode, if you want to say that.
I believe that's The Running Man.
Okay. But yeah, you see, I can make life